Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you fire someone nicely? Happy Friday, Kevin Cruz here. I'm going to answer that question in just a minute, but first, welcome to the Friday show. This is our wrap-up episode for the week. We get to take our time, there's no guest, and I get to rant about whatever the heck is on my mind, which this week includes, not sure if you heard, NBA basketball star Steph Curry, point guard for the Golden State Warriors, of course. He just signed the first NBA Supermax contract, what they call a Supermax contract. $201 million over 5 years. A cool $40.2 million a year if you want to do the math. Of course, this is the highest paid to any NBA athlete, you know, throughout their history. This is a raise. He was making a paltry $18 million a year last year. So anytime there's one of these huge paydays for a professional athlete, often the reaction from the public is shock and outrage. You know, they just can't believe. People say, oh my gosh, he's getting paid $40 million to throw a ball through a hoop. You know, that's so outrageous. It's just a shame. You know, how come cops and doctors and nurses don't get paid that much? I mean, they're risking their lives, they're saving lives, and they get paid such a small amount. And a guy playing with a ball, you know, is making $40 million a year. It's just not fair. And on that note, what's interesting to me is first we have to realize that he's not getting paid to play with a ball. He's getting paid to entertain. Professional athletes are now entertainers. He's getting paid specifically to sell out the 20,000 tickets in their arena to every single one of their games. And he's getting compensated because so many more people will watch the games on TV, which leads to more advertising dollars and richer TV deals, not to mention merchandise, etc. So sports stars today are identical to movie stars and rappers. You know, it's all about attention and entertainment. Attention and entertainment. For my friends out there who are entrepreneurs, you know, whether you're a consultant, a solopreneur, you're building a business, I think about this a lot with my own marketing, my own social media marketing, my own personal branding. People generally want to be entertained before they want to be educated, or at least blending them. I like to think I provide a lot of educational value in my keynote speeches, but I know I would never sell another gig and nobody would pay any attention to me if I wasn't entertaining along the way. I think this underscores what I often say. You know, people generally value, as a society, entertainment, not education, not saving lives, not defense. Money doesn't lie. The market size in the United States, the annual market for entertainment, is $632 billion. It varies depending on what source you use, but generally that's the number that I've seen recently. What we spend on post-secondary education, adult education after college, it's just over $100 billion. So we spend six times more on entertainment than on education. Money doesn't lie. It just shows what, as a country, as a society, we value. And it's really more or less the same worldwide. I say it over and over again. Content people seek entertainment. People who want to become more, who want to make a bigger impact, well, we know there is a time to relax and recharge, but we also seek out education. Content people seek out entertainment. Ambitious people will also seek out education. So congrats for being here. I know what side you're on if you're listening to this show. And do me a favor, tell your friends who want more out of life. Tell your family members who want more out of life. Tell your little brother, tell your little sister, hey, the LeadX Show is the smartest way to start your day. Also on my mind, on the good news front, I read an interesting article online by Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times. If you want to Google it, it's called Good News Despite What You've Heard. And he leads off his article with this great statement. 2017 is likely to be the best year in the history of humanity. How can it be? You just look at the news, read the headlines. It's like, oh my gosh, the zombie apocalypse must be coming. I mean, some bad stuff is going on. He's reporting from Liberia. And one of the things he reports is that worldwide, leprosy cases, incidents of leprosy have dropped 97% since 1985. It's now an easily treatable condition. Over the last 20 years, more than 100 million children's lives have been saved through vaccinations, improved nutrition, and medical care. And this is an interesting follow-up to that. So 100 million kids' lives have been saved. And yet, despite what you might think, this is having a stabilizing effect on the population. When you stop, when you fix infant deaths, parents have fewer kids and they invest more in the children that they have. I can remember reading this, I don't know, a year or two ago, an article that Bill Gates wrote about that, because of course, the Gates Foundation is funding so much of this. Talk about, I mean, whatever you think about Gates, whatever you think about Microsoft, there really is no human being, I think, in the history of the planet that has done more for other humans than Bill Gates. I mean, it's just dramatic what the Gates Foundation has done. And he said that he and Melinda looked at this question, you know, would they be contributing to overpopulation as they start to cure some of these childhood diseases and things? And the data is clear. You stabilize the population in less developed countries when you work on these issues related to kids. Extreme poverty as defined by the United Nations is $2 per person per day. If you're below that, you're in extreme poverty. Apparently, if you make $2.25 a day, that's not extreme poverty. Anyway, it is becoming eradicated. Extreme poverty is becoming eradicated. There's a lot of good global news. Every single day, another 300,000 people are getting electricity. You know how transformative that is when suddenly you have electricity. You can have lights on even when the sun goes down. What that does for community and family, for the ability to study. I mentored a lot of startup entrepreneurs in Africa who are trying to distribute solar-powered lamps because of this problem. Right now, kerosene lamps, it's horrible for, well, it's dangerous for one, and then the smoke that it lets off inside the homes is horrible for people's health. So anyway, it's a lot of great news. Christoph points out that, you know, we all feel like, oh, the sky is falling, because whether we're reading about, you know, President Trump spending his time on Twitter or the looming war with Korea or ongoing battles with ISIS. You know, Christoph says journalists are paid to cover plane crashes, not plane landings. So it's great to pause and realize that even though we do have so much more work to do, there are things that we are not happy about in the world, that are dangerous in the world. There is incredible hope and opportunity for the future. Great article by Christoph. Our iTunes review of the week is from Andrew Barry. He wrote, I'm a fan of Kevin's ever since I read his book on time management. It changed my life and the LeadX show is the next step for me. It's paying off in my ability to lead my troops. Now, once he said lead my troops, it kind of rang a bell. The name sounded familiar. So I searched in my Gmail and sure enough, Andrew and I had exchanged some emails a little while ago. And one of the cool things that he's doing with his wife is they're running a charity called womenofwarproject.org. And they're sending out care packages to women who are serving in the military deployed on active duty right now. So womenofwarproject.org, if you want to support them or check them out in any way. And I'm going to send Andrew a care package for writing such a great review. Remember, if you haven't done it already, it's only going to take you a minute. Hop on over to iTunes, search up the LeadX show, leave a review and a rating. And it's going to be the best way you can help us to build the LeadX tribe. Only going to take you about a minute. And let me know when you do it. I'm at kevin@leadx.org. And we're going to then invite you into the Facebook Ambassador Program. Now, the question I'm going to answer this week is how to fire someone nicely. Now, I picked this question because yesterday, many of you will know, I was in the video studio all day and I did a live broadcast on this topic. Now, if you missed it, you're like, oh, I'd like to get some free training on how to terminate employees in case I ever have to do that. If you missed it, just make sure go to leadx.org and sign up for the email newsletter. That's how we're going to notify you of any rebroadcasts and alert you to my future free trainings, which I'm going to be doing a lot more frequently now. So here's the answer. I can't do the full 1 hour training that I did yesterday, but here's the short version. If you have to fire someone, unfortunately, I've had to do it several times. It's the hardest thing you will ever have to do as a manager. You know, whether you're doing it for performance reasons, someone's got to go because they're not performing, or whether you're doing layoffs, you know, for economic reasons, it's never easy. And for 20 years, I did it the wrong way. I mean, it would just, I mean, my stomach still gets butterflies. I'm so nervous about it and I feel horrible for the person. And, you know, I'm non-confrontational as it is. It's just awful. And so back in the day, you know, I would beat around the bush because I just felt so badly about it, or I'd de-emphasize the real reason, you know, it's me, it's not you. And what I learned over and over again was that I was really cheating them out of feedback that they could have used to find a job that would be a better fit for them, or to improve in some way, to make their future a little bit better. And by, you know, hemming and hawing, it's just confusing everybody and dragging it out. And it even confuses the employees who are, you know, left behind. Well, was that a layoff or was that a firing? And what exactly happened? Am I going to get fired if I do this thing? You know, so it's being vague about it doesn't help anybody. Now, I get these questions all the time. How can you fire someone if they're your friend? How can you fire someone nicely? How can you fire someone with dignity? How can you fire someone with compassion? My answer is there's one right way to fire someone, you know, whether you hate them or they're your best friend. There's really the one best way is the best way for everybody. And this is it. The key point, if I could make a phone call to younger Kevin Cruz, you know, 25 years ago and say, hey, just remember this. This is what it would be. The sooner you can say the words to them, we've decided to let you go and today is your last day, the better. So, you know, you set up a meeting or you call them into your office. Always do it in a private place, by the way. And rather than going through a 20-minute windup or rehashing all the performance problems or getting into a debate or any of this crazy stuff, you call them in and the sooner you can say, hey, I'm really sorry, I've got some bad news. We've decided to let you go and today is your last day, the better. They know exactly then what is going on and what your message is. And there's generally going to be some amount of, you know, emotion, shock, denial. Hopefully not. If you're totally surprising someone, you have failed as a leader. And I'm saying that as someone who has failed several times in this area as a leader, because it means you probably weren't working with them. You weren't communicating with them directly enough about their performance was not up to par. They are on the edge. You know, if they're surprised by this, you probably were not coaching and giving feedback as clearly as you could have. If it's for an economic reason, that's a different story. But again, I always shared open book management. I shared the good times and our challenges. And so even for economic reasons, hopefully it doesn't catch anybody completely off guard. But anyway, it will be emotional. Nobody wants to get this news. So the sooner they can understand what's happening, the better, and they can kind of focus on, okay, what's going to go on now? What's going to happen next? And that's the second part of your conversation. When you say, we've decided to let you go and today's your last day, then you could say, listen, I'm going to take your questions in a minute, but just let me explain what happens next. And then what people want to know about is like, when do they get their last paycheck? What's going to happen with, I don't know, any unpaid sales commissions or paid time off that they haven't taken, you know, vacation days. They want to know about their benefits. Here in the States, you know, it's you lose your job, you lose your benefits. So, you know, is there a way to extend them, or is there they part of the COBRA program? They're going to want to know about severance. Again, sometimes there's severance, sometimes there isn't. So these are the kind of things that you want to explain in like 5 minutes or less. We've decided to let you go. Today's your last day. I'm going to take some questions and let me explain what happens next. You go through that list and then you say, what questions do you have? Generally, the questions are going to be clarification questions around the paycheck and all this kind of stuff. If they're like, I don't understand, how you do not debate them in that moment. And the best thing I've found in recent years is to say, listen, today, right now is not is not the right time for us to get back into this again. If you like, why don't we set up a time to talk, or I'll even meet you for coffee like next week when things have settled down and I'm happy to give you more feedback or to walk through it again or to give you advice for the future, but you just don't get into it at that moment. And generally, if you're in a larger company, of course, you can always refer the detail questions to the HR department or whomever. And I should have said this before starting this ramble. Employment law varies greatly from country to country and state to state. So please don't do anything until you talk to a lawyer or your HR department in your own company. But in general, I think this, how do you actually give people the news, is the right way to go. And on that issue of, do you escort them out of the building? You know, do you collect their things and escort them out? If you're in a big company, it's probably company policy and it's awkward. I never like that, but it's probably for good reason. I mean, the company would really be liable if they were not escorted and they, you know, broke some property or punched someone in the face or something. And it kind of protects them, because if they gather their things unescorted and leave, and then someone's missing a laptop, well, everyone's going to think that this person stole it, whether they did or didn't. So kind of, if there's some chaperone, a host, an escort with them at all times, it kind of just keeps people away from them. It makes sure property doesn't disappear, or at least they're not accused of something like that. Now, in smaller companies, I never liked that. I mean, you know, I'm friends with this person. I trust them. Like, if you trust the person, you probably don't need to escort them. But what I've started doing is saying, you know, I give the news and then I say, listen, obviously you need to gather your personal things and we need to get the company property back. What I suggest is, you know, why don't you just take the rest of the day off and come back either tonight after hours, I'll meet you back here, or first thing tomorrow morning, you know, half hour before everybody comes in. And that way, you know, I'll meet you and you can come in and pack up your stuff and go in privacy. Generally, I feel that the people I've offered this to, they take me up on it, because, you know, they don't want to do a walk of shame, you know, among their colleagues and have everyone see them with their potted plants or their goldfish in a bowl walking out of the office. So they'd rather do it when there's nobody around. When I made the mistake of saying, hey, take your time, you know, no need to rush out, we're all friends here, to be honest, it was a disaster, because then they went back and they told everyone they had been fired, and then they all go out for a 3-hour lunch to talk about it, and then the people come back and it wrecks productivity for the entire day. I even had people then coming back day after day to, like, oh, I'm just finishing up projects, or I forgot this. It was always very disruptive. So I just generally say, I'll meet you at the end of the day or first thing in the morning. So that's my quick advice on how to fire someone the nice way, the right way, the compassionate way, the only way. Next week, there's some fun stuff. So you've got to remember, after taking the weekend off, Monday morning, as you're getting into your car, start up your car and start up the LeadX show. Perfect for your commute. We've got Dr. Tiffany John, who talks about our hidden bias and how we can work towards diversity. I really enjoyed this conversation with her. G. Riley Mills, 2 Big Secrets to Persuasive Communication. And then, okay, literally the craziest episode out of almost 100 episodes I've done now. Sean Canungo, young professional who's an expert in innovation, hugely high energy, crazy, flips the interview around, starts interviewing me. We go completely off script, talking about all this stuff. And then at the end, as I'm starting to read off the show, he basically seizes the mic and closes out the show for me. He, like, becomes the host of the show. So you got to come back and listen to that crazy episode next week. On that note, have a great weekend. And remember, please walk as a leader.